الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفاه أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس صدق الله العظيم We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many many bounties He has and He is bestowing upon us. You know this ayat, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا It means, with every difficulty there is ease. With every difficulty there is ease. Okay, why Allah has mentioned it twice, there's another discussion on its own. But this, with every difficulty is ease, Allah is saying, with every difficulty there is benefit also for you. With every difficulty there is blessing also for you. Which means that when we are in some difficulties, don't forget the blessings. So while it is there, the usr, the difficulty, make sabr. And the yusr, make shukr. So, at any given time, we are enjoying millions of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eye is a blessing, but in the eye, there are so many, many, many blessings here, mashallah. Our eye people will tell us, if one little something is gone wrong in the eye, you will find something is gone, you know, you can't see properly, or you can't see the color, or you can't see so many different things. So it's not just the eye, but in the eye, there's so many things that make the eye to be able to see. And if one of those things go wrong, there's a problem with the eyes. So blessings of Allah Ta'ala are numerous. We must just continuously say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Okay, we praise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala under all conditions. So we are here for our Thursday, our Wednesday night, cardiology department, where we check up the condition of our heart. But sometimes what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a lot of other things to the fore also. We sometimes are focusing on one particular topic, but then what happens? A few other things also come in and you come to realize that, like one friend of mine, he was having some difficulty in his digestive system. So he went to the doctor, specialist, and that fellow started checking up, and they say we need to do a lot of tests. So they did this test, that test. In the process, afterwards, they told him, you know what, this problem here is something got to do with your colon. It's not a major problem, but we found some other problem here down also. Here by your kidneys, there's something not right, and further down here by your prostate also, we picked up some problems there. So now the man went for one problem, but a lot of other problems also were now made manifest and clear to him by Allah Ta'ala. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. So when we sit here, we are not only focusing on one aspect, and we are here actually to do a ECG of our heart to make sure that our heart is proper and correct. Because if the heart is sick, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha saluhat salahu al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu. If that heart is messed up, if there is something not right, then the whole body will be messed up. So we are here for our heart. Every week we remind ourselves that we are not here to increase our knowledge. That's another place. Here we are to increase our awareness about our link to Allah Ta'ala, and to increase our awareness in as far as our own internal condition is concerned. When we are going to be placed in the qabr, it's only we and ourselves with ourselves and no one else. So there's the time the reality is going to come out. So, the ayat of the Quran that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ That those people who control their anger. Now, we've spoken about anger before also. And last week we spoke about thoughts. Now, you see, thoughts, you get one thing, you get thoughts. Allah ta'ala has put a thing like thoughts. You can't escape thoughts. Like we said, don't have bad thoughts. Bad thoughts, come dismiss them. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed desires in our heart. Desires also, it comes, we have to control it. Thoughts, we have to control. And then we have emotions. And emotions, one of them is anger. It just comes up. So that also has to be controlled. These are things you can't drive. You can't say, I want to have something, just I have no desires. Or I want to have no thoughts. If you have no thoughts, you might as well be dead. Because thoughts are continuously coming. And then comes to emotions also. And one emotion that is a sickness of the heart is uncontrolled anger. Which means that anger is there. So last week we spoke about, you know, the thought, the bad thoughts. Now if bad thoughts come, it's left up to us to make our jannat or to make our jahannam. Make our jannat, dispel and repel the bad thought. And the minute we harbor that thought and we start brooding on it and we start acting on it in whichever way it might be, thinking bad about somebody, Qiyamah Day we're going to have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't need that. So the same when it comes to anger, we are supposed to control it. We can either let that anger be the cause of our destruction and our ruin, or we can be let that anger be the cause of our salvation, the cause of our salvation in the Akhirah. So we can decide, bring a chair for our guest here. We've got a very special guest here. Hanif Bhai. Hanif Bhai, welcome. Walaikum Assalam. Okay, it's Maulana Farhan's father-in-law. Before that, he's my elder brother. So nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, we can use bad emotions. When bad emotions come, we can use it to make our Jannat, or we can let it be the cause of our destruction. So the same is when it comes to anger. When we speak about anger, and we have spoken more than once about anger, then we must remember it is not something we just let it be unleashed. You get two levels of anger. One is on the spur of the moment, I tramp your foot while you're leaving the masjid, you get so angry with me, you just lash out. And one is built up anger over a period of time. You know, you did me down and I'm harboring it and harboring. And then finally, when I get the chance, I fix you up also. Not like lash out, but I do something wrong to you. So there are both ways of unleashing one's anger. So we have to ask ourselves that what is the limit of anger? And how do we channel our anger? We must remember that these are things that are placed in our system by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can't drive it away. You can't say, I'm not going to have it. It is there. And these are our opportunities and occasion that we can actually make our akhirah and come closer to Allah. I'll give you a few virtues just now with regard to that. So anger is not a fault. If a man has got anger, it's not a fault. It's normal. It's okay to be angry. But the fault will be when a person does not know how to control it. And that is why we are sitting here every Wednesdays to look at the sicknesses of our heart. I mentioned in the starting that we don't know what and what sickness. So maybe we are sitting, okay, we're looking at our anger. And in the process, something else is also said. And then we come to realize that, hey, you know what, man? I got this problem also. And I got this anger because of this problem. I've got that problem because of anger. Anger is also referred to as one of the mothers of sins. Mother of sins, you know, lots of other sins come out because of anger. Now, everyone sitting here gets angry at some time or the other, and it's a normal human thing to get anger. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that أغضب كما يغضب البشر. I get angry like how human beings get angry. So even our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to get angry. So it is a thing, but then he showed us how to keep control of that anger. And where we'll get this, we'll have to get that control by some sheikh or by some conscious exercise of our own. And it has to be done. And it has to be done in a manner that we don't mess ourselves up further. So that's why if you go to your sheikh, you go to your mentor, whoever it might be, and you tell him, you know, I repeatedly have these bouts of anger, and you know, and sometimes it is so bad, we mess up our life, we mess up the life of our family, we mess up the life of the children around us, we mess up the life of all the people around us, because we just got this anger all the time. And it needs to be sorted out, it needs to be unleashed. So that thing is pumping unnecessary negative energy, and it's causing a major problem. So therefore, we have to work on it. And again, the sheikh is the only one who can tell you, listen here, this is how it must be done. No, when you got any sickness also, you don't just go to the pharmacy and just, you know, pick up some tablets and start taking. That you go to the doctor will say you must take 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 at night, for example. So you say, this problem of mine is so bad, let me just take the whole bottle one time and I'm going to sort myself out here. You'll see what will happen to you. So the same with these spiritual sicknesses. It can't be just done away with. And you can't just go on a binge and start doing certain things of, you know, some azkar and some ibadat and doing certain things. You're going to cause harm to yourself. You have to do it in a progressive, in a gradual way, step by step, under the expert supervision of a spiritual guide who we refer to as a sheikh. So nevertheless, we have to keep that in mind. And a sheikh uses wisdom. It is not correct. Sometimes a sheikh will, you know, be harsh on his followers. Sometimes two angry people will come. He'll give this one a certain remedy and he'll give this one a certain remedy. It is said that, you know, two people were brought in front of one of the emperors of India, He was one of the emperors. So they brought. They said these two fellows did wrong. Yeah. Both of them did the same wrong thing. So he looked at them. So he told the fellow who was the courtier. He said, "Give this guy 10 lashes." And the other one, he looked at him and he just looked at him. He said, "You, just go from here. Just go from here." So both of them did the same thing. The one got 10 lashes, and the other one just got a look. So after the people asked him, they say, "You did this thing, treatment like this for two people differently, but they both did the same action. How are you doing here?" So he said, "Go to their houses and see." So he sent some spies. So the one was at home who got the 10 lashes was just okay, man, no problem. He was just carrying on like nothing happened. And the other one who got the look from the sheikh, he went to him, they say he's sick, he's got a fever. After he came back the way, the king looked at him, and the his name was Alamgir. Alamgir Aurangzeb was a great emperor in the Mughal dynasty of India. So just that look, it has such an impact on this person here that it affected him. So that's why he knew why this fellow here is not going to work. 10 shots is good for him, you're taking the punishment. But this one here, that look. And sometimes when we fix our children up also, you don't have to beat them up. You know, they know that look there, they know what's going to happen. So nevertheless, the sheikh also got different. One person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, "You know what, he had a problem. He says, give me ijazat, give me permission to commit zina." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't get angry at him. The sheikh knows how to work. I'm giving examples of how the sheikh sometimes has to administer different kinds of treatment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't get angry. If somebody comes to one of us and says, "Listen, I need permission to commit zina," what we'll do? We give him a bayan, man. We take out a pamphlet against him. We'll say, "This guy, watch out, man. He's looking for ijazah to commit zina here, man." You know, we'll say the worst. We'll embarrass him. We'll do whatever it is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay. So you know that if somebody wants to do that with your mother, will you allow it?" He said, "No ways." "And if somebody wants to do common zina with your sister, will you allow it?" He said, no ways. "If somebody wants to do it to your sister, no ways. If somebody wants to do it to your daughter, no ways. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in the same way, when you're going to commit zina, then you're going to be committing this act with somebody's mother, sister, daughter, or, is that right?" So the man says, "No." So he says, "Now, if you don't like it for them, then why would you like it for somebody else?" So the whole thing fell into the man's understanding. He knew he mustn't do. So this is how a sheikh operates. This is just, by the way, to say that when it comes to the treatment of certain spiritual sicknesses and illnesses, that we must have the proper guide and the proper supervision. Only that is going to sort us out. Nevertheless, a person must at all times be aware, even if you're not going to any sheikh, be aware that you have got that problem. And the minute you find that rising anger, then just take control of yourself, make some dhikr, go into the musalla, and whatever it might be. So I told you, you get the two levels of anger. One is attempt your throat, tramp your toes, and you just right. So one is somebody even irritating you, so you're also getting a chance. And you want to, you just want to sort him out a little later. So be careful of both the situations. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal-kazimeen al-ghayz," those people who suppress their anger. In other words, it is there. And when a person does that, then there are a few ahadith. And that's why I mentioned these emotions can be the cause of our door to Jannat or our road to Jahannam. We must decide. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith that person who gets anger overtaking him, and despite having the ability to practice on his anger, if he controls his anger, he will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith. So you can use that anger to become sinful, or you can use that anger to get the reward from Allah ta'ala. Now shaitan will say, forget the reward, you can do something else to get the reward. This is your chance to sort this guy out, and don't let him get away. Shaitan will come in, really. Shaitan, you know what he says? Shaitan says that our best victim are those people when they become angry. When they are angry, we take full control of them and we let them do what we want to do. That's why after a person does something very bad, angry, say, "Ish, I don't know what happened to me. I shouldn't have done it. I was angry. I didn't know what to do." Just be careful at that moment. Shaitan just gets into a person and he takes over that person's actions at that time. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he is not a strong person, strong wrestler, who can overpower his enemy. إنما الشديد الذي يملك غضبه إنما الشديد, that the strong person is the one who takes control of his anger at the time when the anger takes him over. So you find this huge, restless, they're just throwing the fellows around here and there. Say, this guy is strong. And a thin fellow who can't do nothing. But if he's overtaken by anger and he controls his anger, he's much, much stronger, in the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, than a very, very strong wrestler. Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, listen to this one, we all men here will like it. That he who is overtaken by anger and he controls his anger at that moment, despite having the ability to exercise it, that you can do what you want, you can, you've got full power. But at that time, if he controls it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the day of Qiyamah and let him choose from whichever of the hoors of Jannah he wants. It says we all men will like this one, yeah. So a good opportunity. You see, you can use your anger to get earn a couple of extra hoors without mahar. So that is how this thing is. We can use the anger to make our akhirat, or we can use our anger to destroy our akhirat. It's left up to us. And Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is a very beautiful hadith. Whoever has the ability to act on his anger, but he controls it out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will fill his heart with a special peace. You know the special peace you're not going to get with any tablets, you're not going to get with any therapy, you're not going to get with any whatever people are taking. You see, we're looking for peace and calm, so we're taking all different kinds of Valium. Hazrat, you say, Valium 5, you know? Hafizah? Yeah, nothing. He says, Allah will give you a peace in your heart which you can't get anywhere else. Just because at that moment you just withheld. And Shaitan will come and say, you let the guy, you had a chance, you have sorted him out. Don't let Shaitan handle us. Just say, no, I want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, one more hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever withholds his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold his punishment. Having the ability to exercise. Now, one is a fellow gets angry, but he doesn't exercise it because he's scared. He gets very angry. But see, if I'm going to exercise my anger, I'm going to get more hiding here. That fellow is not really exercising sabr. He's just being scared. Here you have every opportunity of doing what you want to do, but you don't do it. Allah will withhold his punishment from you. So many ahadith just for us. So if you've got the sickness of anger, then one is to treat it, but keep this ahadith in mind. This is my opportunity. Maybe I can get my akhirat making long tahajjud namaz. I can get my akhirat through a lot of charities. I can get my akhirat doing a lot of things. But I can get my akhirat just by controlling this anger of mine. Right? So anger, it is there. And it is there. Nobody can say, I don't want to have anger. No, it has to be there. And so they say, what is the... Now let's get this here. They say, behind every angry face, you will find the face of pride. So this is one of the other sicknesses. Why does a person get so angry? Because his pride has been hurt or his ego has been hurt. And now you want to, you know, retaliate because of your pride and it was dented. So therefore you act in a state of anger. That's why check up now your humility. A person is lacking in humility. They say to exercise anger is very sweet for some people. But then, remember, you have become the victim of something worse. And that is because of your pride. So that's why we said that anger is such a thing that can lead to so many other things. Pride can lead to anger. And anger now can lead to a whole lot of other sicknesses. And this happens many times in the medical listing also. The doctor said, this problem here has caused this two problems and this has now caused that problem. So if you sort that out, all this will also go away. It happens in the medical. Many times you go for it. They say, this all is because of that. And busy day, sometimes they just what you can diagnosing the symptoms and treating the symptoms, but they're not getting to the actual cause. So we have to know what is the cause of our sicknesses. And we can actually earn our Jahannam. Allah protect us. A person, if he is angered, he can say the worst things with his tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person sometimes is so close to Jannah, but just because of one word, he is far away from Jannah. He goes right into Jahannam. So that's what anger does. And how often hasn't a person uttered just like that cross, he wanted to take revenge on his wife, say, I divorce you. So he gave her 3 bullets. He punished her with the divorce. He took out his anger, but he just broke his whole marriage up, and that is such a big sin he just earned for himself. So you don't, when divorce comes, like you have a process of nikah, you have a process of divorce. But don't think divorce is something that you can use to punish and to let, you know, to give vent to your anger. So our actions and a lot of other things are influenced as a result of our anger. So it is very important that we exercise sabr at all times, and that is really needed. That sabr at that time earns for a person great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must not lead a person into a deeper hole. Sometimes we get angry on somebody, even if it's for a justified cause. And in our anger, we want to put him right, but we go and do more harm to ourselves. So you do so, if you see somebody doing something wrong, right, and you want to put him right, and he's repeatedly doing that wrong. For example, in the masjid, for example, right? And now you want to sort him out, and you come and you start abusing him, and cursing him, and humiliating him. What did you do to yourself? You may be told that guy whatever you want to tell him, but in the process, you have brought so much of ruin and harm upon yourself by your words. You may be humiliated that person, he may suffer. And must remember, do not cause anger to the Allah Walas. You know, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, it is mentioned that once, he had people who were jealous on him also. They didn't like his position and whatever it might be. So one day he was in the majma, in the gathering, and there was one fellow who wanted to, you know, taunt him and humiliate him. So he said to Hazrat, you know what? I believe your mother is a widow, man, I want to marry her, man. Now, if somebody tells you that he's not wanting to marry your mother, he wants to now irritate you and to irk you. And what will anybody do at that time? Now, just think, if somebody tells you, each one knows what he's going to do, right? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, said, you know, my brother, he was hurt. My mother, she is elderly, she is baligh, she's got her own intellect. I think you should go ask her yourself. You don't have to come and ask me to marry her. But that was just his answer, but he was hurt. And then this fellow, as he turned round, because he thought he fell down and he broke his neck and he died right there. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, Allahu Akbar, the sabr of Nu'man has caused this man's destruction. Remember that. One very great alim, I won't mention his name, he passed away now, many good years ago. He was giving bayan on the stage, you know. It was a jalsa, it was some gathering. And while he was there, somebody also, he shouldn't like the ulama, whatever it was, he came and he actually took the mic and he said some ugly things and he walked off. He said some ugly things to humanity. He said, you always, I don't know what he said, some bad things to this alim. So alim just, when the man went away, took the mic and he started talking. As the fellow went down the stairs there, you know, the stage, he tripped, he fell. He injured his neck, but he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. This happened here in South Africa. I'm talking about the alim who I know about. And this was said to me by someone, right? I won't tell you the name of the alim. He passed away also, and he was a very, very pious person. That's why this thing happened. So what we are saying is that sometimes in our anger, you know, we do certain things, we say certain things which we're not supposed to, but we cause harm to ourselves. And then the sabr, on the other hand, is very harmful for us, that man sabr. You know, Sheikh Zulfiqar, Damat Barakatuh, one of the great busrooks of our time, he says about his Sheikh. He says, my Sheikh told me a story once, that while I was sitting, my wife was busy helping me to make wuzu. And in the process of that, she did something else that, you know, caused a disturbance in the routine of my wuzu. So I got so angry at her. You know, the most impatient people we are with our wives. Everybody else, we makes a lot of sabr. But the person we're supposed to make the most amount of sabr with, we don't make. So in that little moment, you know, he got so angry. The Sheikh is saying, he got so angry at his wife. So he told her something. Then she carried on. She said, why did you have to do that? Now can't you? And then he said, I made wuzu. And as I'm leaving the house, I'm going to the masjid, it came on me that I was harsh with my wife. I vented my anger on her. Yes, we have to be very careful here. And he says, when I'm going, I'm saying, now I'm going to go and make with this wuzu here, which she was helping me to make in any case, I'm going to put my head in front of Allah. What kind of namaz am I going to read? He just couldn't. And he came back home. Wife said, you're back very early from namaz. He said, I came to ask you for maaf, man. He said, for what? He said, I was a bit harsh with you. I said those words. Now, and it wasn't something major also. The Sheikh said, not just something light, like, you know, like, she wasn't supposed making wuzu, she just turned her attention to do something else, and he said, can you first get my wuzu sorted out here, like something like that. But that made him so upset. So we must ask ourselves that how many people we anger, or with our anger, never mind I may anger other people, but with our anger we cause so much of ruin. And then what is then our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How did we then become, you know, How did we read our namaz in this condition that we gave vent and we caused harm to ourselves and we caused harm to somebody else? So that is why these are things that we should always be aware of. And like we said, anger is a sickness. It is a very major, major spiritual ailment that needs to be sorted out. Just be aware of it at all times. May Allah give me tawfiq. May Allah give all of us tawfiq. Let me dhikr. أول ذكر